Moncrief on News Talk.
A new two-part documentary series launching this Wednesday on TG Cahar outlines some of the many instances when women took on the law in this country. It's called Manaw versus Anglee. Maeve Johnson is the producer. Maeve, good afternoon to you.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me in.
What was the year during which women were finally allowed to serve on juries?
1976, the Supreme Court
ruled.
That's
astonishing.
Yeah. So for 50 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, plus.
And what was the thinking why women, you know, wouldn't be good enough to serve in a jury?
Well, actually, in 1919, when we were under British rule, women were allowed to serve on a jury. A statute was passed by the UK Parliament. Women were allowed to serve on a jury. And then when the new state was formed, there was a Juries Act brought in where women could be, you know, could claim to be ineligible if they wanted. And by 1927, they were automatically exempted. Mm-hmm. So you would have to apply to be on a jury, which you would never get picked for.
Yeah.
So it was a long time.
Yeah. And so that rule was reversed. Was it through a legal case it was reversed, or how did that come about?
Yeah. So Maureen De Burka and Mary Anderson got in a bit of trouble with the Dublin Action Housing Committee in the 70s, and they were to be brought to court. And they weren't very happy that the jury would be made solely of men. And not only men, but men who owned property, men of means. That was part of it as well. So Mary Robinson was their barrister, and they challenged the constitutionality of the Juries Act, and they won.
Right, okay. I assume that was a long, drawn-out process, wasn't
it? Yeah, I think it took 5 years in total. I could be wrong now, but it was a long process. But it was, the Supreme Court is five judges, and they ruled in their favour that, it was unconstitutional to discriminate on people because of their sex.
Yeah, and Mary Robinson argued that case all the way up to the Supreme Court, did she? Yeah, okay. Perhaps forget the ways in which she changed our society apart from being president. The marriage bar, and people will remember the marriage bar, was that a legal thing or was it just a custom and practice?
No, it was a legal thing. So the Civil Service Regulations Act in 1924 brought in the marriage bar for the civil service, but it actually extended to a lot of private industry as well. Now, there were some occupations for women where the marriage bar kind of didn't really apply to, for example, factory work, laundry work and things like that. Mm. But yeah, effectively from 1924 until I think it was 73, the marriage bar was in existence. It was brought in for teachers in 32, and then they got rid of her for teachers in 58 because they needed teachers. So they could take it back. But that was...
Yeah, and who eventually took the case about that one?
That wasn't a case itself. Yeah. It was just gotten rid of. And the marriage bars after the First World War were very common right across Europe. And I think the thinking was that men coming back from the front needed the work.
Yeah.
So women were sidelined. And right across Europe, marriage bars were in place. But in Ireland, I think, was one of the longest places that they were. And I mean, we weren't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the series, it's a little, the laws of the state and how they were arrayed against women really is a theme that's running through it.
Yeah, basically, I suppose we were kind of thinking about it a few years ago, and we knew there was going to be an upcoming referendum, which happened in 24, about the place of the women in the home. Mm. And we wanted to look at how many laws had been changed. And, you know, some laws are just acts and some laws are changes to our constitution itself. And I suppose what we discovered is when we looked at it from the beginning, foundation of the state in 22, at the Free State, you know, a system was really put in place that sidelined women. So it had to be physically kind of dismantled bit by bit to get them back in.
Mm.
And unfortunately, it's taken a long time to get there.
Yeah. And prior to that, were there many women who were involved in trying to establish an independent state? Did they have an expectation that they would be included in it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we look at many of the people who were involved in founding the state, would have fought in, say, the Easter Rising, for example, if we look at the proclamation, Irish men and Irish women, all citizens cherished equally. You know, it's there in black and white.
Yeah.
So there was an aspiration of what the state would be, but that wasn't what came into being a few years later.
Yeah. And so... It almost feels like a series of incremental struggles that took place over the last century or so.
Yeah, so I suppose we tried to tell it chronologically because, you know, it's quite difficult to tell across two episodes. Maybe we should have had more time to do it all justice. But But yeah, it's bit by bit how the changes took place and how they were brought in, and the justification for them at the time being brought in. You know, they didn't think women could serve on a jury. I mean, it was said that they'd be too sensitive. They'd be neglecting their duties at home. So, you know, the reasoning behind the things and the thinking behind them is very interesting to look back at now, almost 100 years later.
Yeah. Again, people of a certain age might well remember the contraception train, which was a fantastic stunt. Eleanor Cafferty swinging a condom around her head as she got off the train. What was the point of, well, obviously contraception was illegal at that point, but was that part of a strategy?
Yeah, well, we were really lucky to talk to Rosita Sweetman and Maureen De Worker from the Irish Women's Liberation Movement, and they really talked to us about what the thinking was behind it. I mean, it was a stunt, mm-hmm. and they really got so many people there. You know, they really, and they wanted customs to put it up to them to take it off them, you know, and I suppose they caused a scene.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to cause a scene.
Yeah.
To make a change.
It was still some years, though, before there was any change at all.
Yeah, and it was actually May and Seamus McGee who took the case, and their barrister was Mary Robinson.
Again.
Yeah. And what they challenged their right to privacy in their marriage.
Yeah.
The Constitution.
Now, did that then result in the kind of halfway house? I think it was Charlie Haughey, the bony
family. The Irish solution to an Irish problem.
Yeah.
So that's where that came from.
Yeah. And that was only within, that was so restrictive. That was only, you could only be married and you had to go to your GP.
I think, yeah, you definitely had to be married anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When was all that kind of the nonsense part of all that done away with in terms of contraception?
Well, I mean, it was years later before we could like legally sell condoms in the country. So,
yeah,
you know, it was a very long time coming.
Yeah. And presumably like there were, because I do remember the Virgin store on the Quays, and perhaps there was one in various students' union places that were just doing it anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, we have, you know, a bit of archive as well in the series where, you know, people are trying to buy condoms and they're not being stocked and they're not being sold to people.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Well, but things, as a woman, do you think things have got better incrementally?
They have absolutely got better. But I think it's really interesting to look at where we want to be and where we are. And it's important to look back and see how things have changed because it shapes the country that we are.
Yeah.
You know, if you think that we had a marriage bar in place until, you know, 50 years ago, and you say, well, why haven't we had a female Taoiseach?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
For years, says one texter, farm wives weren't allowed to inherit the farm. The ICA, the original women's shed, helped to fight this successfully. And that's kind of still a bit of an issue, really.
Yeah.
In terms of practice.
Yeah. And the rights to property and the amount of things that women couldn't do is so interesting. Like one thing that we looked at and, you know, would have liked to looked at in more depth is the criminal conversation, which was a civil.
It's a bizarre
action.
Law.
It's archaic.
Yeah.
And that was
Please do explain what that was.
Well, basically, if you were a man and your wife had allegedly had an affair with another man, you could sue that man for the loss of property, i.e. your wife. And that was in place in Ireland until 1981.
So you could sue the man because they allegedly had an affair or just because...
It's for compensation, for damages to you.
Yeah.
You know, and a judge actually said, like, on a case in the 70s, said, you know, in this case, when he was speaking to the jury, which were all men, he was saying, you need to look at this as if the wife is a thoroughbred mare.
Whoa.
So it's a property.
Yeah, the Virgin Megastore was fined £25,000 back in the day for that, and you two paid the fine. So that wasn't today nor yesterday. Strange times. Anyway, it's called Manon versus On Glee. It's on this Wednesday, TG Cahir. The first one's on this Wednesday, TG Cahir at 9:30. Maeve Jansen is the producer. Maeve, thanks very much for coming in to us today.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.